tell you something that happened to me decades ago that I feel is the most valuable thing I have in my life. It is more important to me than anything that I have. Even my husband. And I love my husband dearly. Even my puppy dogs. And they're really, really cute. Even you as a church or anything that we have. I value it greater than anything that I have. I remember Keith and I had first gotten married. And I was raised, reared, proper English, Catholic, as most of you know. And I didn't know the Bible at all. And most of you Catholics, you know, today is a little different. Some Catholics are Holy Ghost-filled Catholic churches and charismatic Catholic churches, and we've come a long way, baby.
Amen.
But when I grew up, you just went in, sat there, took communion, and left, basically, you know, kind of went through the motions. But soon it'll be 50 years ago for Keith and I that we got married. Next year will be 50 years for us. I don't even look 50 years old, do I? Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
We ran off and got married. We didn't do it right. But my folks, bless their hearts, I was dating Keith. Some of you have heard some of parts of this story, but I doubt you've heard it all because I probably never told it all. But Keith and I got married really young. We started dating really young. I'm going to say 13 years old, something like that. Not dating, but being kind of a little boyfriend and girlfriend at school. And he'd come over to the house and call himself wanting me to help him with a school project that he needed a girl's opinion. Because girls know designing stuff a little better than boys do. He would say things like that, you know. And so we've been together. We basically grew up together. We've been together forever. And so it's been over 50 years that we've been together. But 2 days out of high school, we got married. But Keith has always had a hunger for the things of God. It's just, ever since he was a young boy, he had a hunger for the things of God. So not long after we were married, he started hungering more for the things of God. And he would get up in the nighttime, and he would go out into the pasture. I wouldn't know where he was. They had about 100-plus acres. And he'd get out of our 1969 Marriott mobile home with the imitation leather furniture and the red carpet and go out into the woods and just pray. And he was hungry for the things of God. And so his grandmother grew up in a Oneness Pentecostal church, which was probably as far as from here to FLI, from our house. I mean, we could walk there anytime we wanted to walk there. And that's where she grew up. And so his parents didn't go there. They went to a Baptist church, which was Baptist on one Sunday, Church of God on the other Sunday. And then his grandmother went to the Pentecostal church. So Keith has a little bit of all of it in him, except for Catholic. And so when he started getting hungry for the things of God, he was just searching for whatever it was. He didn't know. But he started finding out, as you know the story, I had started getting tapes and things from the doctor that I was working for, cassette tapes. How many of you still have a cassette player in your house? Look at the hands. Look at the hands. we started listening to cassette tapes and stuff, and they would talk about the Holy Spirit some on these tapes. And so we started going to the Oneness Pentecostal Church, because the one thing he did know is that they would receive the Holy Spirit, which was something they did not do at the Baptist Church of God in Christ Church. Now, they probably did on their records and on their books decades ago, but present day they did not. A lot of denominations, if you went back to their original records, most of them believed in the Holy Spirit and receiving the Holy Spirit. But he started going. They had revivals like once a month, at least. And some of them would last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever. And so he started going to these revivals. Well, if he went, guess what? I went. And I didn't really know about all this stuff. Well, the reason I didn't know about it is because my mom was Catholic and my dad was Baptist. Now, understand, neither one of them worked real hard at being either one. Do you understand what I mean by that? My dad, I don't know how much he went to church. And my mom, when we moved from Louisiana to Mississippi, I don't know if we hardly ever went to church. So it wasn't like we were a real spiritual family. So I married Keith. And his mom and dad were barely going to church themselves. But he was hungry. So we started going to these revivals every night. And every night at the end of the service, they would have an altar call. Now, this church, mind you, in this little town, is called Laurel Hill. And I doubt the whole population of it. It's not even on the map, I don't think. But where the church was is called Cherry Chapel. And the church itself, I doubt it held 50 to 75 people. I was talking to Keith about it, and he says, wow, we would today think that was just so small, you know. Just nobody, hardly 50 to 75 people at the time. You know, they've built on since then, and I think they have more people now. But we would go there, and the minister would speak, and I don't know who, to this day, the guest minister was that week. I couldn't tell you the name. I know who the pastor was. Their names, I don't remember their last names. Their first names was Rex and Diane. I don't remember their last names. Keith probably does. But that week, somebody else was speaking. But I could not tell you for the life of me one thing he said or one thing he was speaking about. The only thing I was thinking about was, Keith keeps going to that altar as soon as he's done. And they didn't preach little quiet sermons. The beginning of it was a lot of music. And then the preacher preached, and then a lot more music, and they prayed. One thing they do that I think we could learn some things from is praying. They go to the altar and pray every time a service ends. You know, we in our, I don't know what you want to call us, word and faith people, have gotten a little mechanical. We want the word, and we want some more 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 word, and we do nothing with it. But I love the Holy Spirit. 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 And I was taught to not love the Holy Spirit. I was told to stay away from that all my growing up. Because my family, my dad's sister, you've heard it, you know, married a Pentecostal, Oneness Pentecostal minister. And he told her when they got married that she could be whatever she wanted to be. But they got married. And they stayed together till the day they both died. And they ministered for the Lord and loved the Lord. And all their kids love the Lord today. But the day they got married, she no longer could have her makeup or her jewelry. And he flushed her wedding band down the toilet and her makeup down the toilet and everything. Didn't ask her, just did it. So my mom and dad were, to say deathly afraid, that's what Keith was going to do to me. So that's why we ran off and got married, is because they didn't dislike Keith as a person. They got along, except for religion. Religion. So when Keith was going to the altar every night, say it with me, every night.
Every night.
Every night. He was hungry. I would sit in the pew in the back because I was still very, very undecided about this Holy Spirit stuff. Didn't know about it. But, because I didn't know, to be honest with you, if when he got this Holy Spirit stuff, if our life was about to change. If he was deciding we were going this direction. So I was a bit hesitant. But he would go every night, and I would go with him. This one particular night, though, after weeks and weeks, I don't remember, it could have been months of us doing this. Something happened to me back there in the back. I remember I was like three or four rows from the back of the church. I didn't want to get too close to what was going on up there. You understand?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But something happened to me. Something on the inside of me made me look at what was going on and say, could this be me? I didn't know. So I went. The guys were on this side. The ladies were on this side. And I did something that I think most people today in Christian circles are unwilling to do. And I think it's why so many people today do not receive all the things from God that they need to receive. I emptied my heart. I emptied my life as best I knew. And I said, God, if there is absolutely anything in me that's keeping him from receiving what he wants to receive, if I'm doing anything, if I'm holding him out, I surrender everything to you. Everything in me. And I could just feel myself releasing everything in me to the Lord so that he could receive everything he was supposed to receive. Now listen to me very carefully on this. I thought I had gotten saved in that Duo Church, the Baptist and Church of God Church. I thought I had been baptized in that church. But I think I mostly did what other people wanted me to do. Because I felt nothing, and nothing changed in my life. I still did exactly what I did before, and I didn't know God any better. And if you asked me to pray, I would feel like it was a job. I would feel like it was something that I had to do. People said, pray. people said, read your Bible. It wasn't something that I had a desire in my heart to do. It was something that I felt like was expected of me to do as a Christian. But that night, when I went up there and I poured my heart out and I said, God, anything that I have in me. Now, it's like a glass. If you only pour out this much out of the glass, how much juice of water, there's still that much water in the bottom. How much juice can you put in it? But if you pour the whole glass of water out of the glass, how much juice can you put in the glass? You can put it all around the sides. You can put it in the bottom. You can put it all the way to the top. Is that right? It's the same thing with us. If we totally empty ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, there is absolutely nothing in me worth any value. I die to myself. And I just give myself to you. Everything in me. And that's what I did that night. They saw it. Everybody saw it. And let me tell you why. I began to shake. Everybody saw it. And I fell out so hard under the power. Over here, there was a pew there, just like the arm of Rob's chair there, that they say, I don't remember it. Keith told me later that my head hit the pew so hard that it banged it so hard, they thought I was knocked out and they were going to have to take me to the hospital. They thought I had killed myself. But I didn't. I just got up and everybody was around me like I was something was wrong. And I was just praising God when I got up. If somebody falls under the power or something happens to somebody, wait and see when they get up who they're praising. But I got up and I was praising the Lord. And he said, are you all right? I'm great. Glory to God. I'm great. Well, this again was a oneness Pentecostal church. They believe that the moment that you're saved, instantly, you got to get baptized. Instantly. Again, I didn't know about this Holy Spirit stuff. Because the whole night, while this was going on, Stephen, you're not going to get mad at me if I touch you today. Okay, I got a bad letter the other day, so I want to make sure that you won't get mad at me. Okay. The whole time, they were over there on the other side this night, grabbing hold of Keith and saying, hold on, hold on, hold on. Then the other guys would come up and say, turn loose, turn loose, turn loose. Now this went on for hours. Hold on, hold on, turn loose, turn loose. They were doing what they knew. And Keith said all around him, everybody was just going kaplunk, 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 because the Holy Ghost was there so strong. I didn't understand it, didn't know about it. But they said, let's go baptize her. Now, Keith had shaved off his mustache. I was wearing dresses and no makeup already. It was sad. It was sad for me, for him. He looks better with his mustache. Brother Hagin said, get that thing back on. You look better with that face covered. But anyhow, we went to the pond. Now understand, it was January. And it's the south, but it's still cold. It was like 40 degrees. And it was drizzling rain. Now, all I know is that Keith has been seeking this thing called the Holy Spirit for months now. Months now. And we get in the car with this couple. Again, I don't remember their last names. Their names were Ronald and Peggy. And we get in their car. They wanted to drive us. And the whole time there, the only thing they kept saying was, just believe that when you come up out of the water, you will be speaking in tongues. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is a person.
Yes, he is.
It's not a thing. It's not something you can buy. It's not something you can teach somebody to be filled with. And I'm completely convinced that there's a lot of people that have said a word or two in tongues, but never got filled with the Spirit. And there's a lot of people that call themselves filled with the Spirit, but I wonder if they're not filled with the devil. Because when you get filled with the Spirit, you know you're filled with the Spirit. He's holy. Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit as a gift. It's a gift. And he's pure. And he's holy. And he's perfect. He doesn't miss it. He doesn't mess up. He's part of the Trinity. Father, Son, and you Catholics do it for me. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Or some of you do it with two fingers, and some of you do it with three, and some of you a hand. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Part of the Trinity. Holy. Precious. God living inside of you. The most precious thing ever was about to indwell me. Now we get to this pond. It's raining. It's a slick bank. I'd say it was this steep to go into the water. The whole church comes. Not just one or two people. The whole church comes. The pastor, he gets ready and he goes out into the water and said how cold it was. Now we're there and everybody's with us. I, of course, again, I have on a skirt, straight skirt, hose, a blouse, and a little jacket that goes with it. I take off my shoes and I get ready to go into the water. And all I'm thinking is, when I come up out of that water, I'm going to be filled with the Spirit and
speaking in tongues.
I knew nothing about the Holy Spirit. Nobody told me, say this. Nobody told me, say it like this. Nobody said, don't speak anything in English. Nobody gave me instruction. Nobody told me what I was going to feel, what I wasn't going to feel. Nothing. They just said, expect it when you come up from out of the water that you'll be filled with the Spirit speaking in tongues. I stepped my foot, almost slid down the creek bank. Nobody else wanted to get close to the water. They didn't want to fall in because it was cold. I went into that water and it felt like 85 degree bath water. That's what it felt like to me. I remember it to this day. Just felt like I had gotten into a bath. And I walked out there to him. He was out there probably this deep, which was pretty tall for me because he was a tall guy. So I was probably about up to here. And I remember, he said, are you ready? And I said, ready. And I grabbed my nose. And I went down like this piece of paper. I'm standing up. I was facing this way. He was here. I went down like this. The moment that my body started this upward motion, I mean the second, the moment, the instant I started this upward motion, not only did I start speaking in tongues, I started flailing in every direction. And speaking in tongues. But that wasn't the most important thing. The Holy Spirit had come into me wall to wall. And I felt like I had never felt in my life. I felt like I've tried to think of for the last 3 days when I realized I was going to talk about this, the best way of saying it. Now, I hadn't talked to my mom and dad since Keith and I got married because they were upset. So, broken. You know, we had always been close as a family, but things were odd. But when I did that, I felt like everything in my life was perfect. I felt like completeness. I felt like I knew everything I needed to know. I felt like I had love in me like I had never felt before. And it's never changed. I felt like I had a relationship with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, knowing things that I had never known. I told you all what he told me about Keith. I won't get into that. But for days, all I wanted to do was fellowship with the Father and talk about the Lord. You did not have to ask me to pray. Do you understand what I'm saying? Nobody had to ask me to do my Christian duties. To read my Bible. To pray. To seek God about His plan for me. It was instantaneously in me. Somebody asked Keith the other day. He was having something done, and somebody asked him, he told him that he was a minister. And they looked at him and they said, "Have you ever wanted to quit? Have you ever wanted to do something else?" And he said, "Oh my word, no. This is the joy of our life." We were just singing about joy. Never, never have Keith and I ever wanted to go backward. We're all the time pressing in. What more can we do for you, Lord? What more is there that we need to do? How can we become closer to you, Lord? You know, it says to come to the Lord with thanksgiving and praise. Most people go to the Lord like they're going through a drive-thru at McDonald's. They come to the Lord and they have their list. Lord, this week I need $300. The kids need 2 pair of shoes, and I could use my knee to be healed. Do you know that all three of those things have already been paid for? You shouldn't even have to go to the Lord with them. Those are things that the Holy Spirit reminds you of. The Holy Spirit living in you is your teacher. He's your guide. He's your comfort. He's like what we sang a few minutes ago. He's your advocate with the Father. Hey, Father. Hey. Hey, Dad. Hey, Dad, they could use some extra money, Dad. They're tithers. You could send them some extra money, Dad. He is your advocate. He works for you. You're living with somebody inside you that is so, I can't even describe it. I asked Keith one time if it was okay if I loved the Holy Spirit more than anybody else in the Godhead. More than God, more than Jesus. Now, why would I ask him that? Because he helps me so much. I don't go 5 minutes without checking in here, without feeling in here that I can know the answer instantly, without knowing the comfort of if something goes wrong, okay, here. I never, say never. Never ask you what you're thinking about, what's going on. Do you understand what I'm saying? I never pick up the phone and call, what do you think about us doing that? I never take a poll. I never see how many people I can get to pray for the situation. Because I have got the greater one living inside of me. One of the three of the Godhead lives inside of me. The holy greater one that knows all things has come to dwell inside of me. Now, on the day of Pentecost, there was a lot of people there. And it says they were all
filled
with the Holy Spirit. Now, of all those people, you have to wonder if all of them were living right. Huh? But they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues and prophesy and tell things about each other, and it was a glorious day. Yes. I think in the church, we've been getting a little too much teaching and not enough yielding to the Holy Spirit. But if your glass is so full of just teaching and nobody's praying in the Holy Spirit anymore, how are we going to be yielding to the Holy Spirit? They were all in one accord. Because why? They were all on the same page. We can get in one accord just praying in the Holy Spirit. Everybody. Spending time checking for the greater one inside of them. What do we do? What's our plan? Then when we go to the Father, we're just like, Father God, I just love you.
Yes, yes, yes.
I just thank you for all the blessings in my life.
Yes.
I thank you that Keith and I are so well and healed and our family's doing good. Our churches are doing good. Our people are doing good. You're showing us what we need to do. You have helped us over and over and over again. And instead of us going to him for what we need, we say, what do you need me to do, God? What do you need from me? You've healed me. You've given me finances. You've taken care of everything I need. What do you need from me, God? What do I need to do today? And you got to shut up long enough to hear.
Amen.
And if you'll shut up, the Holy Spirit, say the Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
inside of you, the Holy Spirit inside of you will begin to show you things and say things to you. But in today's society, so many people just use God in their lives as just a little add-on. They're not willing. 50 years ago, when I got saved, and a lot of other people I know, when you went to the Lord to get saved, you poured out your whole body to Him. Everything you did, you were willing to give up everything in your life for the Lord.
Yes.
How many of you remember that?
Yes.
Do you think it's that way today?
Yes.
It's a rare thing today. People don't want to do. I remember us standing in line for hours at Rhema just to be able to hear Brother Hagin. Just to be able to hear him. Freezing cold, wind blowing. Broke a toe, somebody stepped on it trying to get to a seat. Hungry for the things of God. Hungry to do what God said. But now we're hungry for the TV. If we will check inside of us and give the Holy Spirit more than just that top layer of our glass and open our hearts up, there is so much that the Lord wants to do in your life. He wants to do so much for us. You've heard me tell stories about our houses. You've heard me tell stories about our vehicles. You've heard me tell stories, the things that He's done for us. How do those things come to pass? Because God is faithful. He's true. But one morning you get up and you're praying in the Spirit, and the Lord says, go and do this. Lord, I don't have time to deal with that today. It's not like He's taken, I'll use Robert this time, because this is what I got in trouble for. It's not like He's taking a hammer and taking it and pounding it in your head. He's not going to do that. It's like what He says in the Scripture. It's that still small voice inside of you that you can easily override. You can easily say, I got too much to do today and I got to get to work. Or I got to do this. Or I got to do that. But if we will honor the Holy Spirit that's inside of us and recognize how holy and important He is, and give Him place in our life. Brother Hagin said He'd make you rich. Not only will He make you rich, He'll show you how to be healed. There's not a time in my life that I've gotten sick that the Lord hadn't showed me how to get out of it. How did He show me? Did He appear to me? No. Did He send somebody to tell me? No. He told me from inside of me something I needed to do. Say this with me. The Holy Spirit, is perfect.
He
comes from a perfect God
and a perfect Jesus.
He will always give me the perfect answer. If I listen. It doesn't matter what your situation is. It doesn't matter what's going on with your kids. It doesn't matter what's going on with your marriage. My marriage was a mess. Guess who told me how to fix it? Our finances were a mess. We owed everybody. Everybody. I think we owed everybody. Did we owe you something? They were a mess. Guess who taught us how to get out of it? You heard Keith tell. I went and I laid across the bed. And waited on the Lord. And guess who told him how to get out of it? The Holy Spirit inside of him told him how to get out of it. You need a new job? Guess who's going to tell you where to find it? You need some more money? Guess who's going to tell you how to get it? You need money? You need healing? You need direction? You need, what do you need? The Holy Spirit. And the more you get before him and you say, Lord, I truly believe. Now, this is what I believe. I believe that you know that you know that you know that you know. And I could go on for 30 minutes that you know 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 when you got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not questionable. And if you're having to wonder about these things, you need to do it again. You need to go before the Lord and you need to pour your heart out and say, Lord, I've been keeping this half for me. I've given you this half, but this half was mine. Because until you die to yourself completely, he only has half of you, and he can only deal with half of you. You ain't going to get all the answers. Because the devil will play with your mind. He'll play with your heart. He'll play with everything you got. Because he's not like the Lord. The Lord will tell you in a still, small voice the answer. And the devil will go, yeah, hey! And you ain't going to be able to hear that still, small voice. You remember Brother Hagin telling the story about he's trying to talk to Jesus. And the whole time Jesus is trying to tell him in a normal voice what's happening. That demon's going, yakety, yak, yak, yak. Yakety, yak, yak, yak. And Brother Hagin is waiting on Jesus to stop the demon. But he said, I couldn't. You have to. And how do we do it? We get before the Lord. And we give him our all. If he has our all, the devil has none. I don't wonder. I am not afraid of the devil. I'm not afraid of anybody. Because they can kill me today and I'm going to heaven. People say, aren't you afraid? And I'm going to put it on camera. They'll have to delete it. Aren't you afraid to stay by yourself when Brother Maury's gone? Oh, no, 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 no. I've got the biggest angels you ever did see. Nobody going to mess with me. Nobody is going to mess with me. They don't mess with me. I got some big angels. And I'll tell you something else. If you'll follow the Holy Spirit, you won't be where you shouldn't be. And you won't have any troubles. There'll be sometimes I think, I need this. And I'll think, you don't need to go today. No matter how bad you need that, you need to stay your little body at home. No matter how bad you want that or need that, it's time to be a little homebody today. The Holy Spirit knows the mind of the Father. And he, I can't express it enough. I wish I could just, he, the third person of the Godhead lives inside of you. wall to wall if you let him. And if he's inside of you, there's no room for anything else. I have to watch. I've told the guys, I said, I don't always want a lot of people sitting around me, especially if I'm ministering. Because if you've been waiting on the Lord and doing things, you'll pick up on what's going on with people around you. And you don't always want that. A lot of times, Keith can tell, I can tell. We'll go out of the service. Do you know that? Yeah, do it. Yeah. Why? Because you've tuned yourself into being able to hear from him.
Right.
After 50 years. You can hear. You know. The Holy Spirit is perfect. He will lead you perfectly in what you need to do. You need to send your kids to college. He will tell you exactly where the money needs to come from. You don't have to finish college and owe $500,000.
Amen.
He'll show you exactly how to do it. There is nothing he doesn't know. There is nothing he doesn't know. Say that with me. There is nothing,
nothing he
doesn't know, about your life. And here's the thing. You may want to look at how somebody else fixes their hair or dresses or does this or does that. But I got some news for you. You will never be them.
Amen.
But there's one inside of you that can tell you how to optimize you.
Amen.
And make you be the very best you can be. There's been a million things I didn't know how to do. And I'll stop and I'll say, okay, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to help me with this one because I ain't got a clue how to do it. But you know what? He does. He does. He knows how to do everything. He knows everything. He knows how to help you do it. I remember when computers first came out. I was working for a doctor. I'll never forget it. I had to learn how to put in an operating system, and I had to learn how to do all the things. It wasn't 3 months. I lost it all. You didn't have all these things. Do you want to delete? And it tells you you're going to delete everything. It just said delete, and I said yes. And it was all gone. And I had to re-enter all of our patient files and all of everything that we had. I didn't press delete again for a while. But that was, immediately when Keith and I went to school, when I first got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I know the Holy Spirit inside of me. I know him. And he'd say, Phyllis, are you sure you want to delete that? I talk to the Holy Spirit. I talk to the Lord. And he talks back. And that's the way it should be with each and every person in here. You sure you want to buy that now? You sure you want to spend that money now? This is going to be coming up in the future. You sure you don't want to apologize to your sister about that? You sure you don't want to talk to your mom and dad? They're going to be gone. How quickly do people pass away? The Holy Spirit will wake you up. You need to take care of this today. And you put it off. And what happens? The Holy Spirit is perfect. We have to get perfect at listening to the Holy Spirit. We have to get perfect at respecting the Holy Spirit and honoring him. He loves you. And he loves you. And he loves you. And he loves you and 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 you. Each and every one of us. He can comfort you. The disciples wondered, how can we get our answers now? Jesus is leaving. We're so used to just go and say, Jesus, what do we do? How do we fix this? What do we do? I'm going to give you somebody so much better than me. What's better than Jesus being right beside you? What's better than Jesus pulling up a chair and sitting down beside you and saying, this is what you do today?
Inside information.
Somebody being inside of you, and when you go to do something, you go, it goes, don't do that. Don't do that. He can be just that vocal to you. Don't you do that. Don't you go there. Yeah, don't you say that. You're going to regret it if you say it. You're going to have to go back and apologize. He is our helper. He will keep us out of trouble. He is so amazing. I love Him. I love Him. I love my husband. I love the Holy Spirit. I love Jesus. I love God. I love the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Say it with me. I love
the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
I respect
the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
He lives large inside of me.
He lives large inside of me.
He gives me what I need.
He gives me what I need.
To hear. Whether I like it or not. See, spouses, you don't have to tell your spouse not to do that. Don't eat that. It's bad for you. That's going to make you gain weight. Don't eat it. A lot of spouses are that way. Don't go there. Don't watch that. Don't look at that. Don't do that. You don't have to do it. Because let me tell you why. If you don't get nothing else, get this. If they won't listen to the Holy Spirit inside of them, which is much more valuable than you, guess what? They're not going to listen to you. If they ignore the Holy Spirit, part of the Godhead inside of them, what was it that man said? Send Moses to talk to them. They'll listen to him. He said, nope, they won't.
Yeah.
If they're not going to listen to the Holy Spirit, they're not going to listen to you. And you're just going to cause yourself a what? A fight, turmoil, trouble. Shut your mouth. Don't say that. The Holy Spirit will say, you don't need to say that. You don't need to say that. That's when we actually do need one of those zippers that's on that emoji. Zip it. He helps us so much. But we have to condition ourselves, just like exercise, to be able to hear Him. Because a lot of noise does not make it holy or the anointing.
That's right.
The louder it is, doesn't make it better. When you go to the Father, enter with thanksgiving. Don't end with thanksgiving. Enter with thanksgiving.
Right.
Learn from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, people come to me all the time and they say, what do we need to pray about this week? What do we need to pray about in the morning? What do we need to pray about at prayer? You need to pray and find out what you need to pray about.
That's good.
I don't know. I'd have to pray and find out what we need to pray about. I don't know. How do we pray for this person? I don't know. I'd have to pray and find out how do we pray for this person. How do we help this person? I don't know. I'd have to hear from the Holy Spirit. Now, all the time, praying is not hearing from the Holy Spirit. People have gotten that confused. You can't talk and hear at the same time. You can ask and then you can shut up. And lay there in the presence of the Lord and wait on Him. Not out here from your TV or your radio or your phone or anything else. Put all that away. And just look inside of here. The Holy Spirit, I know I keep saying it. He's wonderful. He's the best thing you ever did have. He is perfect. And I know I keep saying that, but He is perfect. He will not leave you without. He will give you everything you need the answer to. I'm going to read you a few things that I think will help you to understand some of the things He's given us, to show us some of the things. There's not a child that's been filled with the Holy Spirit. There's not a 120-year-old person that doesn't have questions. People have a question. It arises. What do? You run to somebody and say, what do I do about this? I mean, we get calls all the time. Pray with me about this. Help me with this. Show me how to do this. And that's okay. When you're young, you haven't trained yourself how to listen to the Holy Spirit. But most of you, how many of you in here have been saved and filled with the Holy Spirit for 25 years? Get my point? We should have answers. We should have victories. We should be the most prosperous bunch in the whole wide world. Because it's just like Brother Hagin said. When you learn to listen to your spirit, I will make you rich. Jesus told Brother Hagin that. If you get sick, the very first thing you should do. Shut everything off. Get in your prayer closet, wherever that is. And say, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? Doctor, meds, Advil, Tylenol. What do I do? What do I do? Instead of just assuming, you have the greater one of the Godhead living inside of you. Say, I have the Holy Spirit.
I have the Holy Spirit.
Living.
Living.
Wall to wall.
Wall to wall.
Inside of me.
Inside of me.
And He knows. And He knows.
And He knows.
Everything.
Everything.
And He's perfect.
And He's perfect.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
10 people do. 10 people do. Let me read you a few of these things. The other day, Dave was going to the hospital to pray for somebody, and he said, you know, I didn't really know what I was going to do. He said, but the Holy Spirit told me, just lay your hands on him. Pray for him. Pray for him for 4 hours.
Amen.
That's learning how to be led. We have to do what the Holy Spirit says if we want to get God's results. We won't have to do what God says. Where does the Holy Spirit get His information from? If we want God's results, we got to do it God's way. So, when you yield to the Lord, you'll get life-changing results. Life-changing. My life has never been the same since that day. It has not been the same. We have been coming up and up and up and up. We have never gone backwards. We have never lost anything. We have only gone forward since that day. Never, never. Never. We've only gone forward. These are some things. that the Holy Spirit will help you with. Stability. He will help you be stable in your life. Do you know how many yo-yo Christians we see all the time? One day they're up. They love the Lord. The next day they're down. They're depressed. The Holy Spirit will help you become stable. Brother Hagin was one of the most stable people I know. My husband is one of the most stable people you'll ever meet in your life. He's not a yo-yo. He's not up one day, down the next. He's not happy one day, sad the next. Do you see him up here? He's like this. He's like that. Stability. Rest. The Holy Spirit will show you how to rest. He'll show you how to get sleep at night. He will help you fall to sleep at night. The Holy Spirit will show you how to do that. He will show you how to have strength and maturity. Because he inspires trust in you. You will know how to trust God. You'll know how to trust the Holy Spirit. The more time you spend with him, he'll show you how to trust God in all the areas of your life. He will give you something I never had as a child. Unshakable peace. Peace. Peace like you've never known. He will give you divine wisdom. How many of you can use some more wisdom? He will give you wisdom. What do you do with your kids? What school do you send your kids to? Do you change this? Do you change that? What do you do? He will give you divine wisdom. And here's one that a lot of people are lacking in these days. He will give you purpose in this life. Why am I even here? He will give you the purpose for you being here. And he will give you identity. You won't wonder if you're a man, if you're a woman. You won't wonder if you're both. Man and woman. He will give you identity. That's who he is. He will tell you who you are and how to be that person. He will give you unconditional love. No matter what you've done or how bad you think you've been, he will give you unconditional love. Just you in the bed, you and him, unconditional love. He will give you inner strength to do anything you need to do, like get up in front of people and speak. Huh? He will give you inner strength at your job to rise higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. He will give you inner strength to own your own company. He will give you the money to own your own company. He will let you live to be 120. He will renew your strength like the eagles. But you know how that comes? Huh? Huh? Do you know how that comes? When you wait on the Lord and you listen to this inside of here, he will renew your strength. You may be to where you can't hardly get out of bed anymore. Do you want renewing? How many of you could use some extra strength? Extra strength. How do you get it? Wait on the Lord. And he will renew. Didn't just say just go in there and talk blah, 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 blah. It said wait on him. When you're waiting on him, he's going to go inside of here and tell you something. Wait on the Lord. He will give you answered prayers. Things you've been praying about for decades. Family members, friends, kids. Answers to your prayers. He will give you freedom from bondages. He will tell you how to quit looking at that porn. He'll tell you how to quit spending so much. He'll tell you how to quit being snooty. Whatever. He'll tell you. He'll tell you. He will give you hope and comfort if you've lost a spouse. He'll give you hope on how to go on. He'll give you comfort. He'll give you peace. He says, the Lord says, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. He will show you how to be comforted. He will transform your character. Maybe you just don't even like yourself. There's a lot of people in this world that don't even like themselves. He will show them how they can become better and transform their character. And He will give you something that we all are believing for, eternal security. He'll show us how to walk out this life and end up with the Father in heaven. I want us to do something for just a moment. Everybody stand if you would, please. I know for a fact there's people in here that are not filled with the Spirit. The Lord told me that there would be. And we are not into embarrassing people, and we're not going to do that. But there's also people even more than that, that you've spoken in tongues once, twice, said a sentence, said a word. And you really do want to be filled. You know, when I was filled, like I said, I didn't eat for days. I didn't sleep for days. I wanted to glorify the Lord and talk about the Lord. And I get that way sometime today. I remember not long after I was filled, they had something at camp meeting. Everybody was laughing. I got so drunk in the Spirit, I was that way for days. It just doesn't take anything now for me to yield to the Spirit, whatever He wants to do. And that's where we all should be, just right on the verge of jumping in the pool. You understand what I mean? You should stay right on the verge of falling in. Because you stay prayed up, and you should just be right on the verge of the Spirit's getting ready to move. You're the first one to jump in. Because you're there. You don't have to get cranked up and pumped up like a, you know, we used to have a crank ice cream freezer. And you'd have to crank, how many of you remember them? Crank that thing, and an hour later you might have some ice cream. I don't want to have to be cranked. I want to stay ready. If the Spirit's moving, I want to be the first one to jump in and be a part of that. I want us to be able to have some great moves of God in the church. But we got to be ready. God wants to use us to help other people. He does. We already are seeing Keith go all over the globe with some of the things that he's ministering and stuff. We got to keep him stirred up. So we can kick him out of here in the tail and say, go teach that to somebody else. They need it over there. And not take for granted that he's here. We don't appreciate it, we can lose it. So everybody in here, we're going to pray in the Spirit. We got 8 minutes left till noon. Can you pray in the Spirit for 8 minutes? Some of you can. If you can't pray in the Spirit, I want to do that first. Or if you only prayed once or twice, I want, if you're watching on the internet, or if you're in either one of these buildings, you may have to do the first part with me. So we're just going to pray, and you may have to empty out your cup. You may have to do a motion with it. Just empty it out. Say, I want a full cup of the Holy Spirit. Empty your cup out, and if you didn't feel what I felt wall to wall, it's there and it's available. Because every one of them people in Acts that got filled with the Holy Spirit, they was pretty wild for a while. You understand what I'm saying? That meant they emptied out their hearts to the Lord. So Father God, say it with me. Father God, we're here before you. We want all of you. I empty myself. Don't say it unless you mean it. I empty myself. I want to be wall to wall. Holy Spirit. I die to the flesh and my ways. I want to learn the Holy Spirit ways, the way you want things done, because it'll be perfect. It'll be right. It'll be good. It'll benefit me more than anything else. It'll be victorious. It'll be good. So, Father, I open my heart. I open my life to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come in now and fill me. Fill me with your love. God, I give you my life from this day forward. I want all of you. I'll serve you. I'll give you everything I am. Everything I want to be is for you. Now I died to my flesh and I yield it to you. Holy Spirit, come in now and fill me. Shake.